Welcome to the Family Express podcast, where our destination is resilient and connected families. Come aboard with your hosts, marriage and family therapists, Catherine DeBruin and Rhonda Evans, to explore the world of emotionally focused family therapy, a model developed by Sue Johnson and colleagues. Together with our guest speakers, our travels will map the EFFT landscape, highlighting lessons learned, shared fears, and the passion and curiosity that bonds our community.
Well, Catherine and I are definitely looking forward to our conversation today with our guest, the lovely Berenice Leon Fonseca. She's here to talk with us about families experiencing high conflict divorce and working with the court system. And we're just so grateful for her wealth of knowledge and experience. Berenice will tell us more about her background. I will just say that she does have a background as a paralegal and has appeared in court more frequently than most therapists. Berenice, thank you so much for joining us today. I will be a learner alongside this conversation, so I'm just so grateful for you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So great to have you here. Tell us a little more about your background and then also about the work that you're doing now and why you actually enjoy doing what you're doing.
Yeah, so I initially wanted to go to law school and I was planning on pursuing a career in law. I have a love for the law and the justice system and how it all works and perfecting it. If, you know, in my heart of hearts, that was my goal of like making change. So I, to get some more experience in the legal field, I pursued a paralegal degree and worked as a paralegal in the San Diego court system. So I am located in San Diego, California. And in my work with the courts, I was part of a department that worked with self-represented litigants. So these are people that are not being represented by an attorney that would come to our office to get help with understanding the legal system, what forms needed to be filed for their case, or questions about their case. Hey, I'm getting stuck here, or I feel like I'm up against, you know, the machine or the man, and I really want help in spending more time with my child or reducing my financial liability in terms of family support. So part of my job and exposure was to understand the forms, understand the process, sit with people one-on-one and hear their stories. And after about 14 years of doing that, I realized that my heart was more on the stories and not necessarily a passion for litigating for people, but sitting with them and understanding the struggles, the family struggles, and what's bringing them through the court system. So I then pursued a MFT degree in graduate school and kind of understanding my journey through my graduate program and taking a class with Catherine of counseling children and adolescents, I really felt like my life kind of came full circle. Like, oh, this is what I was being prepared for, right? I understand the legal systems. I'm now understanding the psychological implications of divorce and family separation on children. I want to work with kids. I want to be able to be part of their story and their healing and navigating this process. So I felt very comfortable with that. And that's what I do now. I work primarily with children and families that are navigating the family separation process, as well as court-mandated therapy for individual children, for conjoint therapy, a parent and a child. So that is my niche right now.
I can hear your excitement and just love you sharing that and can't wait to learn more from you. Berenice, as I think about family systems and children who are hurting and symptomizing, I think we know that if a parent has got good support, or in families that are lucky enough to have two parents, if those parents are backing each other up around parenting, it has a tremendous effect on the family system. And then I'm thinking about the families that you get into touch with, and these families don't have this communication, right, between the two parents. And so I understand that a big part of the work you do in your practice is to get parents to see the importance of the family system and to actually start agreeing to work on their relationship together. But how on earth do you do this?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yes, I think leaning in, the therapist has to lean in and believe, right, that that is a true statement, that getting the parents on the same page, getting the parents to be able to communicate is going to benefit their child. And so I lean in with that truth. I believe that wholeheartedly. That's my modality, right? Leaning into it from a attachment perspective.
Can I slow you down for a moment? Because yeah. As you said that, I was just thinking, isn't that the antithesis of what the parents have come to, which is why they're in the court system, often fighting one another? Like, these are potentially parents who've come to a place where they think that the other parent is dangerous mm-hmm. to their child, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so you're going in, taking on a completely different perspective. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of that intake call, right? I 95% of the time when I get on an intake call and I'm introducing this form, my modality, my way of treatment, I always have a parent that like, oh, no, I don't want you to talk to mom, or, oh, no, I don't want you to talk to dad, or dad's not going to buy this. I don't talk to mom. I don't talk to dad. So I get that in that first 15-minute call. And so I'm very firm in providing that education to the parents that I understand. First, I lean into their experience. I know that you and dad don't talk right now, or you and mom don't talk right now.
Or you and the other parent, right? Yes.
I understand that you and the other parent are not in good terms, and that you're coming to me with this court order, mm-hmm. right? So you now have the court telling you what to do. And I can imagine that being very stressful to you and to the other parent. But for me, it is important because I understand that if I can help you and the other parent not litigate through court, like, what would that look like for you? I just kind of give them that miracle question. Like, what would it look like if you and the other parent were in the same room and you're able to talk about what's in the best interest of your child? Immediately they're like, that's never going to happen. And I'm like, you're right. Right now, that seems like an impossibility. And I'm not a miracle worker. I can't guarantee that that's what the outcome is going to be. But that's what I lean in with. What if I could help you not go through the court process?
Sure.
And bring you two in. Let me be the one that talks to the other parent. Let me be the one that talks to you. You can come to me with this concern because I'm here for your child and the benefit of your family coming out of this stronger than you are coming in.
I'm imagining that if you started with a question like that, it would completely surprise me. Like, I wouldn't see that coming. And it would really cause me to be like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And then potentially, like, the idea of someone who's even holding that perspective or willing to take on the entire system or even willing to have hope that that could even be a possibility.
Yeah. And even just hearing you now, Catherine, right? Like, you're like, whoa, that's kind of just slowing me down. Like, I'd be surprised by that. That is the reaction that I get. It does shock their system. And it says, oh, wait, no one's approached me in this way. And I've tried several therapists. And you're giving me something different. So I'm willing to give it a chance.
And Barry, like, the thing that impacts me too is when families have had to go this route of getting the courts involved, the fact that to some degree, you're relinquishing a lot of power and control, and how helpless that must feel as a parent to not be the one who's in charge of making these decisions for your children. And so the idea of, like, taking that back and potentially even getting out of a court process mm-hmm. could potentially be like empowering the parents again in the system.
Yeah. And I also lead into, like, yeah, what I'm saying is really scary. You're asking me a person that you don't know, and I'll be honest with them on that call, right? You don't know me. And what I'm asking seems like a really big ask. So I get it. I get it if there's some reservation and some hesitation. And part of the therapeutic process is trusting it. And I'm just asking you to join me in that journey of trusting me with your family. And if at ever a point it gets like, but Anissa, I don't really like that, you can come to me with this, right? This isn't, this is what the court ordered. You have to do it. No, this is your process and you're trusting me with that. And I'm going to carry that and protect that. So if it ever feels really scary, 5 sessions in, 6 sessions in, you can come to me with that and say, I don't like how this feels right now. This, I don't know. I feel like you're leaning more on the other parent than me. I want you to come and tell me that, and we can have a conversation around that. So I'm also prepping them from the beginning of, I'm not taking control here. You're an active participant in this journey. Yes, I'm meeting with your child, but I'm giving you access to this. Because many times, like you said, Catherine, right, they have relinquished their rights. They have an attorney speaking for them. They're trying to advocate with their attorney, and then in many cases, their attorney, parents feel frustrated because their attorney isn't saying the right things or isn't putting out what they feel is important. So they're already relinquishing their form of communicating directly to the judge. The judge is now making orders and seeing the evidence being presented and making assumptions of what the family system may be. So yeah, they're coming in feeling like, I don't have a voice. No one's really hearing me. And when you give them the opportunity to say, you have a voice here, you can come to me, I'm going to sit here and listen, it's a different experience for them. It's what they've been searching for.
On that intake call, you're anticipating the ruptures that might be coming. It also sounds like you're aware of the trauma that people and the stress that they might be going through, the fear that they have, and you are working on that alliance right from the very beginning. But it also, like, we haven't even talked about the kids yet. It's like you're saying to the parents, you're my client and I'm going to be here for you. And you come and talk to me. And very likely at some point you'll think I'm biased or I'm taking sides or there's something about the other parent you're not seeing. And I invite all of those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm giving them room to come in with that.
And how does that go?
It does soften them. That's been my experience where it's like, okay. And even in that intake call, it's like, okay, I don't know that I fully feel comfortable, but I like the tone of your voice, or I like what you're saying. This is different from what I've heard from other therapists. Generally, too, I mean, if a therapist is going to work with this population, they have to understand that not many therapists are going to work with this population. And so the family has gone through 5, 10, 15 therapists by the time they get to a therapist that's saying, I'm willing to take the case. So right away, they've heard, nope, this is the way I'm going to do treatment. Nope, this is a da 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 da. There's all these blocks. And you're now providing something different to them. And they're saying, oh, wait, this sounds good. Might be a little too good to be true, but I'm willing to take the risk based on the fact that you're giving me something that I didn't receive before.
Are you talking about like 2-3 minutes into the call, or are we already like into a 15-minute call at this point? Like, just practically speaking?
Practically speaking, this would probably be maybe like 5 minutes in. So I generally say, what brings you here? What's going, you know, what is it that you're looking for? Oh, it's for my 9-year-old child, and me and the other parent are separating. And so I just want to know, do the kids know? Where are you in the separation process? Or it's court mandated and I'm trying to find a therapist for my child. So I generally, first 5 minutes, get a little bit of history. Why are they here? Why have they reached out? And then right away, I'm like, okay, well, before we go any further, this is the way that I work. Right? I work from a family systems perspective. I know that you're reaching for your child, but oftentimes I'm not just working with your child. I will primarily work with your child, but I need to have access to both you and the other parent. It's important for me to have access to both because, and then I kind of go into that cycle, Ed, of when we have both parents involved, then I'm able to make changes in the, you know, help the parent make changes in their own environment. Because a child is going from home to home. If I only work for the child, I can only do so much, right? If I don't have access to the parents and change isn't happening in that environment, then I'm stuck with providing tools for the child. So for me, it's important to be able to have access to both parents.
Is it something along the lines of the psychoed saying, you know, what your child needs most actually is you and the other parent? Or your child really needs a lack of tension between the two parents in their lives?
That conversation is had, but it's had maybe 3-4 sessions in. So in the consult call, I am just giving them, look, this is the way that I work. I'm giving them, again, something different than what they've heard. And generally, I'll get the buy-in pretty quickly. In that first session, I also, in that consult call, I let them know that that first session is a parent session. So before I even meet your child, I'm always going to meet with the parents. I want to get historical information, how much of the distress in the couple unit was the child exposed to, right? I'll go even historical, prenatal, you know, history as well. So after that first parent session, and after I have that first session with the child and I do some assessment as to how the child is presenting, then I will come back with the parents and say, look, this is what's really going on here. Right? Your child is really stuck in a hard spot. They really want to please you. This is why they're acting out, because they think maybe this is what you want to hear. Tell me a little bit about what it looks like at home when this happens. So now I'm getting more context around what one parent is experiencing in that home with the child, because it's going to be completely different from the other parent's perspective. So I need to get some more historical or some more context around the presenting issues with the child in each home and how each parent responds to that.
All right. I'm trying to think of the emotional atmosphere in the room as both parents are there. Are you talking about parents being in the same room physically? Are they on Zoom? Do they have an option to not come in together if they're not comfortable with that?
Yes, and yes. So I always lean in with having both of you in the room. And sometimes there's pushback. Oh, I haven't spoken to them since we got divorced. Oh, I can't be in the same room. Okay. This is my preferred method. If we can't be in the same room, are you open to Zoom where we can be in the same space? Because for me, it's important to be able to communicate the exact same thing to each of you at the same time so that you guys are both getting it from me live in the room over Zoom. If there's other elements, like there's a restraining order and they can't be in the same space, then obviously I would accommodate meeting with one parent for, you know, at different times. So meeting with the parents at different times to comply with that court order. But I do push for having the parents on the same platform, whether in person, via Zoom. And I also let them know, I'm going to communicate with both of you on the same email thread. Anything you text me, the other parent should have access to. So that, again, to remain neutral, to try to eliminate any biases, all of that is part of my communication with the parents, that this is the way I work. And I do also give them an option. I do want to kind of rewind and say that when I present this, and if I'm feeling over that consult call that there's some real big hesitation, I say, I get it. It's different than maybe what you've heard. But if you feel like this isn't right, that's okay. You know, if you don't have any other referrals, I can refer you to other therapists, but this is my preferred method. It's effective. And this is the way that I work.
Are there situations where you don't go this route, where you do end up only working with one parent, or you might even take on the child as the unit of treatment instead of the family system?
Yes, I will take on a child or just work with one of the parents, depending on the court order. Generally, these are restraining order cases. So if one parent has sole legal and sole physical custody of the child and there's a restraining order in place, then I still let the parent know I'm going to make contact with the other parent just so that they know that your child is in therapy with me. And if they ever wanted to get a hold of me, then I want to be accessible to them. But it depends, right? I need to know that historical and also legal background. If the child is not to have contact with the parent who they need to be restrained from, then I'm not going to contact that parent. Clearly, I'm going to stay within the boundaries of the court order and the safety of the child and the family. But there are cases where if there's trauma, one of the parents is the alleged perpetrator, and the parent seeking for therapy has the sole legal decision maker for that child, then I may take that case on if I feel like, okay, in the best interest of the child and the family, the child needs to be in therapy, I'm going to move forward with it.
You're making these decisions very carefully, and you're also basing it on the paperwork in the system. And I imagine that takes a bit of time between that intake call and your first session.
Yes.
To really get caught up on court documents, to understand what they're really saying, to get access, to put together like a narrative of where the case is.
Yes. And I will say, you know, when I first started off taking on these cases, you know, part of that learning curve is I've learned that this is effective, that this is the best way to treat a family that is navigating the family separation process, that is stressed and traumatized by the judicial system. Because early on, I didn't work that way. And treatment was ended without really establishing stronger connections between the parents and their children. Right. And it was because I didn't go this route. I went with just, one parent has legal custody, I'm just going to do it. And I never requested access to the other parent and never got full context of the experience of the other parent and how maybe that was distressing the child, right? And so I was going through treatment without having a full picture of the child's experience. I was missing a piece of that. So for me, it was really important to change the way that I worked with these families and really understand that this child is half one parent and half the other parent. Right. And so if I only have one piece of the puzzle, I'm missing this whole other piece that is the child.
That seems like in that beginning process, you're having to work so much harder again to get access to the full system. And then what we know is true about family work is that that assessment and getting to a full conceptualization can take longer. But slowing down and doing that effectively is ultimately going to help you get way further, way faster in the system.
Way further, way faster. Yes.
And you've seen that play out in different cases.
Yeah. Just recently, it's a new case that I've taken on where I had that consultation call. We had that first parent call, and the parents were not agreeing on who was going to pay for treatment or how frequently we were going to do treatment based on who was going to pay. So again, adding both parents on an email thread, one parent responds with, I can't afford this based on X, Y, and Z. The other parent came in and said, well, I can only afford this, so I will take on the payment. And because I can only afford this, then we're not going to do weekly sessions. We should do bi-weekly because I'll pay the bill. And so I agreed. I said, okay, you know, based on your financial situation, we'll go ahead and do it on a biweekly basis. right away, because I gave the other parent that buy-in from the beginning to come to me, right away I got an email that said, I feel like you're right away taking the other parent's side. I feel like you didn't even hear me. If I'm going to be cut out of this treatment, just let me know now before we even start. Just let me know that you won't see me. So then I was like, okay, here's a trauma response, right? This parent has been fighting the other parent for so long in the legal system that somehow me agreeing with this parent paying for it and honoring this parent's ability to pay maybe on a biweekly basis, the other parent felt already this therapist is taking the other parent's side. I'm out of this. They're not going to hear me.
That's incredible. So, like, to have access to that dynamic right mm-hmm. from the beginning like that. You got to
one session in. Yeah. But it was all of that front work, right? Of letting them know, this is how I work. You can trust me here. Come to me. And so she came to me. Now, what would have happened if I'm like, oh, great. Here's this parent. Now it's already going to start. Never mind. I don't want to take this case. And I say, maybe I'm not the right therapist for you. Then her trauma response is true. Here, this is another therapist that is being biased. I don't have, no one hears me out, right? We would have lost them based on her experience to be true. But instead I said, let's jump on a call. I hear you. I'm sorry it felt that way. Let's get on a call so I can clarify this for you. We got on a call and I said, whoa, I see how this felt that way for you. This is the way I read this parent's email. And this is why I leaned in this way, because I heard they can't afford weekly sessions. They can only afford biweekly. And because you guys are still figuring it out, I took it at face value. So I'm sorry I did that. This is in no way cutting you out. This is just logically, financially, what makes sense. But I understand, and I asked this parent, I'm wondering and I'm curious, like, has this been your experience in the past where the parent says something and then it's a definite, we have to do it? And she's like, yes, this has been my whole life. And I said, oh, so then when I said yes, here I am confirming your experience. And we're repeating this cycle. And she's like, yes. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you came to me with this. That was not my intent. And so now I'm repairing this small injury right from the get-go. And I said, wow, I'm so appreciative that you came to me with this. These are the things I want you to come to me. And is it okay if I call this out for you too, that this is, it sounds like it's a trauma response, right? You are responding based on your experience with this other parent. And this parent was so like, oh my gosh, you're right. This is what I did. And yeah, and it's okay if you call me out on it. I'm trying so hard to change the way in which I respond, but you're right. It was a trauma response. And I'm just so glad that you caught that and that you didn't push me away. And so now we have a session with the children coming up tomorrow, actually.
Berenice, what an incredible example. Thank you so much. It's convicting for me. And I'm thinking of how many cases like this I've just said no to. Partly that's because of what's happening inside of me, as I imagine the case management and the work that it would take to really hold this whole system. You're talking about a negative cycle that can come up between the therapist and one of the parties in a family like this, where the therapist can say, oh, too much drama, or here we go, or, you know, any number of negative things.
Mm-hmm.
How you were able to interrupt that because you're ready for it. You know it's coming. Mm-hmm. You know that there's just so much trauma in cases like this when the courts have gotten involved.
Because in most cases, they're not separating. The parents aren't separating because they love each other, right? They're separating because there's negative experiences in the relationship. They can't see eye to eye. They've fallen out of love. There's been, you know, some broken bonds there. There's been injuries. And so they're coming in with that on top of the stressors of the judicial system, unfortunately, and the financial burden of having representation and filings and what that cost.
Right? And the massive amount of fear that you're going to lose your child. Mm-hmm. Like the most precious thing in your life, right? Yeah. Like it's someone, the other parent, the person who used to know you, who had a child with you, is going to take this child away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine.
Yeah, Vernice, I'm just sitting here, in essence, like digesting. So when you were first talking about, you know, this is my modality and I'm telling this on the consult call. Yeah, like I felt so hopeful, right? So that younger therapist in me years ago who was like, well, we should just have them all in the room. The whole system should be involved. And then my training and my supervision either didn't allow me to take on these cases, the agency wasn't set up for it, or they were fearful, and or my supervision was see the parents separately, right? Like don't bring them together. So I was feeling very hopeful at the beginning. And then this example that you gave is just, I think it's just so indicative of how therapists can get scared and how they can not want to engage and not want to be a part of this family therapy. And for me, this is like I had told you, isn't even a growing edge for me, that these types of family cases, it's all new. It would all be new for me. And so, yeah, just really empathizing with any of us therapists, family therapists out there who might have a heart for the work, but feel very inadequate, undertrained, and honestly facing our own fear on the inside about, will I know how to handle a situation that comes my way? And I'm just so grateful that we have people like you in the family therapy field in the EFFT who can honestly, I think, help grow up the next generation of therapists to bring us back to family therapy, even when there's court ordered and high conflict justice system cases like this. I feel hopeful, and I feel like my fear has a place to go in a way. And that feels very good.
Rhonda, I love that you're speaking to that fear, right? Not just in the parents and in the system, but in the therapists themselves. And so maybe as we start to wrap up our time today, Berenice, if there are people that are doing this kind of work, what do you think therapists need to be able to get through this?
Definitely a training where we're having this conversation, you know, where therapists can come with this fear, like Rhonda's speaking of, right? To say, I have a heart for this. I want to work with children, but oftentimes this scares me. And let's face that fear as therapists in a safe space where we can talk about, what is that fear? What does it look like? Do you feel that same way when you're working with couples? Because it's the same thing, right? It's just, we have divorce written on it, right? Or it's the same thing, but we have this other entity that's asking them to join into therapy. So what's scary about that? I think having a conversation, having a training around how do we navigate the nuances of court-ordered therapy. I think just creating a space for therapists to come with that, I believe that therapists will leave feeling a lot more hopeful, a lot like, oh, it's not as scary as what I thought it would be.
Some knowledge about the court system, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to go to someone like you who's not as afraid because you've been in that system, you know what this stuff means. But also having a group of people to come together and to co-regulate around those fears.
Yeah.
As therapists. And my understanding is that you're going to actually be providing some things like this in the future.
Yes, very soon, actually. We are rolling that out, hopefully, the very beginning of next year, February-ish, where we can provide a consult group for therapists to come and ask these questions, maybe even present cases, or myself and other members of our team can present a video, and you can see what it looks like in the therapy room to navigate a dynamic as such. But yes, that's something we definitely want to provide for our fellow colleagues in the field.
That's super exciting. I'm just like sitting here like, see, like we're already growing up the next generation of therapists to center family therapy, even with families like this where other therapists might shy away and might just close their practice to these types of cases. And the idea and the hope of opening it up again with consultation, with support for us on our side, just sounds fantastic.
Well, again, thank you for having me. I'm excited that we're having this conversation, that we're having it. That's the first step. We're doing it. We're having the conversation. We're making it less scary. And so I appreciate you bringing me on and asking me all the questions.
Thank you so much, Berenice. Thank you so much for your time and sitting with us today. For all of us learners out here in the world, I appreciate you. I think that's it for today. Catherine?
Thank you so much for being here, Barry. Look forward to having you on again.
Thank you.
That's it for today, folks. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again for our next journey.